Welcome to Orson Welles' Wonder Show, the second greatest show on Earth, rebroadcast for the servicemen and women of the United Nations. Featuring Aurora Miranda, Barney Bigard and the All-Star Jazz Band, Miss Lucille Ball, the works of William Shakespeare, and the Wonder Boy, Orson Welles.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your obedient servant, Vitamin Flintheart. Excuse me, a slip of the tongue. This is Orson Welles. Vitamin Flintheart is a ham actor. I don't know how I could have made that mistake. This is the Mercury Wonder Show. I'm sure about that. And we pitched our tents tonight at the Naval Air Station in Terminal Islands. Wonderful place, everybody. Among other things, they have the fastest shipbuilding yards in the world. In other shipyards, they first put down a keel. They don't do that here. The first thing they do here is to build a platform, put a guy on it with a bottle of champagne in his hand, comes 4 o'clock, ship or no ship, he swings. I know. I bent over to tie my shoelace this afternoon and got a launch. But I am... I really have a great fondness for this base in particular. I have a cousin that's stationed here. For months, he's been writing me how wonderful the Navy is. March double time, dress double time, drill double time. I got a wire from him this morning. His wife just had twins. I hope you'll forgive me if I seem a little tired, but the bus has brought us here. It's a little crowded, and all the way out, I had to sit on Lucille Ball's lap. It knocked the fellow out, you know. Yeah. As a matter of fact... You know, Lucille, I've heard of the Navy E, but this is the first time I've heard the Navy Ooh.
Hiya, fellas.
Really, we're all thankful you've come down here to the Naval Air Station to help entertain the boys. And frankly, I'm glad to see you fixed yourself up. When you walked in tonight, I hate to mention it, Lucille, you were all disheveled. Hair mussed up, lipstick smeared. What happened?
I made the mistake of asking a sailor what a commando does.
I see you found out.
I did. Mm. Orson, why do these sentries have to challenge you every time you make a move? I've been stopped 25 times tonight. Can't they see I haven't got a gun on me?
Probably a security measure.
I know, but it's getting monotonous. Halt. Give your name, rank, and phone number.
Lucille, I don't think you understand the Navy.
And you do, I suppose.
Oh, I come from a Navy family. My great-granduncle was Gideon Wells, Secretary of the Navy in Lincoln's cabinet. My grandfather, he was a signalman under Admiral Dewey.
Really? You never told me, Orson.
Well, I kept it a secret. You see, my granddaddy was discharged as a signalman.
Why?
He was caught wigwagging dirty stories.
Tell me more about your grandfather, Orson. What sort of stories was he sending?
Well, I'd rather not talk about it, Lucille. I'm trying to forget it. The court-martial was ghastly. They broke Granddaddy's signal flags over their knee, ripped his pin-up pictures off the wall. Oh, it was awful. Lucille, the Navy men today are different from the ones of my grandfather's day. Do you know how a sailor spends a furlough nowadays?
I haven't the least idea.
Let me show you. The scene, a highway just outside of the Naval Air Station, a sailor... That's me. He's walking along the highway. A car approaches with a glamorous creature by a curious coincidence of you at the wheel.
Not bad. Going my way, sailor?
Well, I'm going to Hollywood.
So am I. Hop in.
No, thanks. I'd rather walk. I need the exercise. We sailors get so little exercise lounging around all day, you know.
Well, it's silly of you to walk when I can give you a lift.
Thanks, but I never ride with a strange woman.
Oh, you sailors are all the same. What are you going to do in town?
Well, this is my big day. I'm really going to lift.
Where are you going?
My first stop is the Museum of Natural History. And if I'm lucky, I might be able to squeeze in a few hours at the aquarium.
Haven't you any dates with girls?
Girls? What a way to waste a 72.
Look, I feel silly driving along in back of you like this. Why don't you hop in?
Oh, I guess I might as well. Move over.
You know, sailor, you're awfully cute to be wasting a day at a museum.
Now, if you're going to start that, I'm getting out.
Oh. Oh, relax, Taylor. I feel like a big sister towards you.
Oh, that's fine. Nice car you've got here. What make is it?
Cadillac 41.
Got a nice pickup?
You're the third today.
I see what you're leading up to, and if you're going to start that again, I'm getting out.
Sorry, my error.
Granted.
I thought you sailors were different. Out for fun, nightclubs, burlesque shows.
Burlesque show? You might find an occasional sailor at a burlesque show.
Oh.
But he's only there for the popcorn. Say, wait a minute. Where are you going? This isn't the road to Hollywood.
Well, this is a shortcut.
Shortcut. Uh-oh. What's wrong?
We're out of gas.
Oh, no, you don't. Let me out of here.
Oh, please don't go. Can't you just sit here with me? Somebody will come along and lend us some gas.
No, I'm sorry.
Why not?
Well, we'll sit here. You put your arm around me, then you put the other arm around me, then you hold me close, and then he will start to kiss me, and then...
Yes?
First thing you know, the museum will be closed. And now I'd like you all to meet our Brazilian blockbuster, Aurora Miranda. Aurora, this is Lucille Ball.
How do you do?
Oh, bem, obrigada. Posso dizer a ela que eu estou muito contente de estar aqui com vocês, viu?
She says she's very happy to know he has a date with five servicemen after the broadcast. Would you like to go out with four soldiers? What's
well,
funny about that?
Ask her why she's giving me four soldiers.
Oh, eles precisam se distrair. Depois, com uma estrela, quem é que resiste, hein?
Well, she says she's splitting it up even. The fifth one's a sailor.
No tabuleiro da Bahia, na tem Botafogo e Caruru, Mongonzarro e Tenhumbu, pra ioiô. Se eu pedir, você me dá o seu coração, seu amor de iaiá, me dá, me dá. No coração da Bahia nascem ilusão, oi, canjere, sedução, oi, ilusão pra você. Juro por Deus, pelo Senhor do Bom Fim, quero você, baianinha inteirinha pra mim. E mas depois, o que vai ser de nós dois? Seu amor é tão vulgar de enganador. Mentirosa, mentirosa, mentirosa. E mais depois, o que será de nós dois? Seu amor é tão vulgar de enganador.
Cavaleiro da Baiana tem.
Temos o Batapá, oi, caruru. Mangonza, oi, tem um bu pra ioiô. Se eu pedir, você me dá o seu coração, seu amor de iaiá. Me dá, me dá, me dá, me dá. No coração da Baiana também tem.
Ilusão, oi, canto play. Ilusão, oi, canto play.
Pra você.
About that scene we did a few minutes ago with the girl and the sailor. Yeah. Was that a picture of the Navy or the fife and drum corps of the Sea Scouts?
Well, I... You don't think it was authentic?
No. And to prove it, I brought a scene of my own, a little love scene. I wonder if he'd let me play it with a real sailor, one of the sailors in this audience.
Oh, I don't know, Lucille. I wouldn't want to impose on any of the boys. Is there anybody at all who care to do a love scene with Miss Ball? Anybody at all? Ladies and gentlemen, what you've just heard... Yes?
Where? Over there? He looks pretty good.
Yeah, all right, you come on up there. Miss Ball likes you. You step right forward. Among men who know neck and best, ladies and gentlemen, it's Lucille Ball, 2-1. No other ball can make this statement. All right, Lucille. Come right on up here, will you, please? This is sort of a lucky fellow. He had to beat down a few others. Come on, what's your name, please?
First class, I'm
Clark, good. And this is Miss Ball, please. Hello. Don't make a production of it. Shake hands. Have you ever done any acting before?
No, sir.
What prompted you to come up on the stage?
I just wanted to get a good look at Miss Ball.
Very understandable, but this scene requires a little acting. At one point, you're called upon to kiss this lady. Do you think you can do it?
Yes, sir.
Well, all right. Here's the situation. The boy comes back from college and finds his childhood sweetheart has grown into beautiful, glorious womanhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks at her and says, I have come back. After all the weary months and years of waiting, here we are together. Let me take you in my arms again, as I used to. Kiss me, darling. They kiss. You got that?
Yes, sir.
Now, suppose I run through it with Miss Ball for you.
No, I can do it, honest. I can do it.
Put yourself together, sailor. Ready, Miss Ball?
Ready.
Fine. The boy enters. He speaks. That's your line, right?
Yeah. I have come back. Kiss me, darling.
Now, wait a minute. He skipped a few lines. I have come back after all the weary months and years of waiting. Here we are together. Let me take you in my arms again as I used to kiss you, darling. Okay, let's take it again.
I have come back after all the weary months and years of waiting.
Now, here we are. Whoa, just a little slower. What's the rush, sailor?
I'm expecting a trip for any minute.
Ready, Miss Ball?
Ready.
All right, here you are.
I have come back after all of the weary months and years of waiting. Here we are. Together, let me take you in my arms again as I used to. Kiss me, darling.
Wait a minute. You got your eyes closed there, sir.
Well, Orson, how do you kiss with your eyes open?
Certainly. I want to see what's going on under my nose. Well, come to think of it, this is a very poorly written scene. After all, this fellow's been away for 4 years. He wouldn't just barge in and kiss her. Might hold hands. Don't you think so? Don't you think he might just hold hands?
Not in the Navy.
Well, he's a college boy, a Harvard man. Make that, here we are together, let me hold your hand. Ready, Miss Ball?
Ready.
Ready. Here we are together, let me hold your hand. That's what you say.
Here we are together, let me hold your hand.
No, you don't put your arms around her. You just hold her hand. You're establishing a bridgehead. You're not opening a second front. You got it? All right.
I think it was better to get your word.
All right. We'll go back to the kiss line. Ready, Miss Ball?
What's the difference? You're not going to let him get to me.
All right, sailor. Say it again.
All right. Here we are together. Let me take you in my arms.
Pull me closer.
Closer. Gentlemen, please. No ad-libbing, please.
What do I do now?
No coaching from the audience, please. You kiss her, sailor. All right, all right.
Of course. Pull out, sailor. As you were. Cease firing. Somebody give me a bugle.
I off?
That bub is all.
I hope this fall, and I'll be back to entertain you again in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Music!
Now, ladies and gentlemen, our all-star jazz band, which includes tonight a great master of the clarinet, Mr. Barney Bagar. They're going to play Savoy Blues. Thank you. Shakespeare's Henry V is the finest expression of English patriotism our theater has ever given us. These words, for instance, could have been written to be spoken tonight. Now all the youth of England are on fire and silken dalliance in the wardrobe lies. Now thrive the armorers, and honor's thought reigns solely in the breast of every man. I'd like to read you now what the young English king in that play had to say on the subject of honor. His armies, a pitifully small number, were already landed on the French coast and were awaiting battle. But first, let the words of Shakespeare's chorus set the scene. Now, entertain conjecture of a time when creeping murmur and the pouring dark fills the wide vessel of the universe. From camp to camp, through the foul womb of night, the hum of either army still is sound. But the six sentinels almost receive the secret whispers of each other's watch. Fire answers fire, and through their paly flames, each battle sees the other's umbered face. The country cocks do crow, the clocks do toll, and the third hour of drowsy morning neighs. Proud of their numbers and secure in soul, the confident and overlusty French to the low-rated English play at dice and chide the crippled, hardy-gated knight who, like a foul and ugly witch, doth limp so heedlessly away. The poor condemned English, like sacrifices, by their watchful fires, sit patiently and inly ruminate the morning's danger. And their gesture sad, investing lank, lean sheep and war-worn coats, presenteth them under the gazing moon so many horrid ghosts. Oh, now who will behold the royal captain of this ruined band, walking from watch to watch, from tent to tent? Perforce he goes and visits all his hosts, bids them good morrow with a modest smile, and calls them brothers, friends, and countrymen. Upon his royal face there is no note how dread an army doth seem round him. Nor does he dedicate one jot of color unto the weary and o'erwatched knight, but freshly looks and overbears a taint with cheerful semblance and sweet majesty that every wretch, pining and pale before, beholding him, plucks comfort from his looks. A larger, universal, like the sun, his liberal eye doth give to everyone, thawing cold fear. Then mean and gentle all, behold, as may unworthiness define, a little touch of Harry in the night. Now there's the scene for you, as Shakespeare thinks it, better than we could ever do it in a movie studio. Walking alone through his camp, King Henry hears one of the commanders of his troops, the Earl of Westmoreland, wishing there were more men in the English army. Says Westmoreland. Oh, that we now had here but 10,000 of those men in England that do no work today. So speaks Westmoreland. And Henry answers him. What's he that wishes so? My cousin Westmoreland? No, my fair cousin. If we are marked to die, we are now to do our country loss, and if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will! I pray thee, wish not one man more. By Jove, I am not coveted for gold, nor care I who doth feed upon my corse. It yearns me not if men my garments wear. Such outward things dwell not in my desires. But if it be a sin to covet honor, I am the most offending soul alive. No, faith, my cousin. Wish not a man from England. Godspeed! I would not lose so great an honor as one man more, methinks, would share for me for the best hope I have. I do not wish one more. Rather proclaim it, Westmoreland, through my host, that he which hath no stomach to this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and then crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. This day is called the Feast of Christians,
she that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when this day is named and rousing at the name of Christian. He that shall live this day and see old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is St. Crispian. Gently strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Christian's day. Old men forget, yet all shall be forgotten. But he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names familiar in their mouths as household words, Harry the Third, Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups, freshly remembered. This story shall the good man teach his sons, and Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by. From this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that shed his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhood cheap, whilst any speak. But what with us on St. Christmas Day? And then the battle comes. And now we hear the great speech. The very fortress itself.
Once more unto the breach, dear friends, once more. I'll close the wall up with our English dead. In peace, there's nothing so becomes a man as modest stillness and humility. But when the blast of war blows in our ears, then we imitate the action of the tiger. Give him the sinews. Summon up the blood. Disguise fair nature with hard-favored rage. Then lend the eye a terrible aspect. Let it cry through the portage of the head like the brass cannon. Let the brow whelm it as cheerfully as the galled rock, or hang and jutty his confounded bait. Will with the wild and wasteful ocean. Now set the feet and stretch the nostril wide. Hold hard the breath and bend up every spirit to its full height. On, you noble English. Dishonor not your mothers. Now attest that those whom you call fathers did beget you. Be copy now the men of grosser blood and teach them how to war. And you, good yeomen, whose limbs were made in England, show us here the metal of your pasture. Let us swear that you are worth the breeding, which I doubt not. For there is none of you so mean and base that hath not noble luster in your eyes. I see you stand like greyhounds in the slip, training upon the start. The game's afoot. Follow your spirit, and upon this charge, cry, God for Harry, England, and St. George!
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.